I'm here today with Lena Hatzikronoglu, who's a dear friend of mine, and we're going to be talking a little bit about an expression that came up recently, and I wanted to know a little bit more about it. And the expression was Achilles' heel. And I'm wondering, Lena, if you can you tell me a little bit more about the person of Achilles. What's the whole idea of the Achilles' heel, and why do we still use it today? Where did it come from?
Okay, that's a very important issue, Nick, and thanks for asking those questions because, you know, that's what I love to share.
I know.
Okay, so the thing is that it's a very pertinent question that you asked. You know, why do we use expressions that have to do with Greek mythology to in this world, in the world of today? I mean, why? What is so important that these things are alive and well today?
How many years later, approximately?
You would say 1,200 years before Christ plus 2,000 years, about 3,200 years.
Significant amount of time.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is real.
So the thing is that we understand that these are still pertinent. And it's not only the Achilles heel. I mean, Greek mythology and Greek culture is still pertinent in other expressions, but also in products, in a number of things that we can talk another time about. But this Achilles heel, of course, when we all use that expression, we understand what it means. That means that you found somebody's weak spot, right?
Right.
So the thing is that it's important to understand who was Achilles and why that expression.
Tell us, who was Achilles?
Okay, so Achilles, most people are familiar with the Trojan War, of course. Lately, we have so many movies.
We have Brad Pitt now.
Exactly. When I gave that lecture, I put a couple of pictures of Brad Pitt because, you know, to make it very contemporary.
Pretty godlike looking person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the thing is, anyway, the Trojan War is important, and our knowledge of Achilles comes mainly from the text of the Iliad, mm-hmm. which is Homer's, one of Homer's epics, that according to the most scholarly awareness was composed around the 800 BC, you know, or a little bit later in the 8th century, mm-hmm. 700s. And of course it's referring to the Trojan War where the Greeks attacked the Trojans to take over the city, and of course one of their greatest heroes, or rather their greatest hero was Achilles.
Okay.
So Achilles was the greatest hero of the Greeks, was young, beautiful, capable, skillful, fast, you name it, he had it. And of course, as long as Achilles fought with the Greeks, the Greeks won.
Mm-hmm.
So Homer's epic begins at the time that Achilles is already at war. However, we have other epics which deal with the life of Achilles.
Okay.
And not only other epics, but other words, other works like poems of the 5th century and later than Homer.
Would you mind if I stopped you and answer
sure.
briefly? What is the idea of an epic?
Oh.
What does that mean? Because I hear that is used a lot by a lot of different people.
Okay. In today's language, the word epic means slightly something different than its original meaning.
Okay.
But in its original meaning, it means a long poem which informs culture. I mean, it has cultural value for the people who created it. And the epic, really, for each culture, has to do with the main ideas in a form of poetry that it tells a story, but it's a big story. It's a big story not only in length, which is a very long story, but it's also in ideas expressing the cultural values of the people.
Is it always heroic?
No.
Okay.
There are different kinds of epics, but, okay. you know, as far as Homer is concerned that we're talking about now, it is
epic.
A heroic epic.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Homer's
Thank
epics
you.
Were heroic. Now, in today's world, though, the word epic, just because it's referring to an old long poem, we use the word epic to indicate something grandiose, something
right.
big.
Okay? And that's how I hear it used.
Exactly.
Often.
Or you can say, you know, an argument of epic proportions
Correct.
Or whatever.
Correct.
Because it's
yeah.
big, that is.
Got
okay,
it.
So, all right. So, anyway, Achilles is the greatest hero of the Greeks in the Trojan War.
Mm-hmm.
However, Achilles' life starts much earlier than the Trojan War, and we get that information not from Homer,
okay.
but from other poets.
So he was referenced pre-Homer. Achilles was.
Yeah, he was, except that those works are not saved. I mean, we don't have them. But we get the information, whether it was created afterwards, just because Achilles was such a great hero.
Understood.
Or it was information that people knew before. We have the evidence of his earlier years from other poets who are later than Homer.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
But when we start the life of Achilles, you know, and it's important to our subject. Why mm-hmm. Achilles heel?
Okay.
What was Achilles heel? Achilles heel means that, you know, this hero was invulnerable in any sense of the way, except for his heel.
Understood.
And
so this heel describes a point of vulnerability on the hero.
On the hero.
Got it.
But the point is, according to the story, again, the hero got that heel, the vulnerable heel, because his mother, he was the son of a goddess, the goddess Thetis, who was one of the Nereids, you know, one of the sea goddesses.
All right.
But very important, a goddess that even Zeus and Poseidon desired. However, because it was destined, and Zeus and Poseidon knew that there was this oracle, this prophecy, that Thetis was destined to give birth to a son greater than his father.
Oh, you, so neither one of the gods wanted to impregnate her.
Exactly.
Oh,
and
good.
Therefore, they all decided that they're going to give him to a Greek hero, Peleus.
A mortal. Got it.
Who was a king, the king of Phthia, located in where Thessaly is today.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, all the gods participated in their wedding, and it was a great wedding. Where we have the origin of the Trojan War, because that's where the goddess, all the gods and the goddesses were invited to that wedding. But
except for one. Yes.
Exactly, the goddess Eris, which was the goddess of strife.
I wouldn't want her at my wedding either.
Absolutely, except that she wouldn't have it, and she said, "Okay, if you're going to exclude me, I'll show you." And so she created a golden apple
mm-hmm.
on which she wrote to the fairest, and she slipped it through during the wedding. And of course, three goddesses, Athena, Aphrodite, and Hera, came upon it, and they started fighting because...
Whose apple is
it? Who's exactly...
Who's the fairest?
Who is the fairest? They go to Zeus. Zeus, of course, was in a very difficult position because he had to choose between his wife, who always argued with him, and his two daughters who were not by his wife, Aphrodite and Athena.
What a family.
And he all loved them. And therefore, I always tell my students, try to put yourself in a position that you have to choose between your girlfriend or your wife or your significant other, your mother and your sister.
Pick all the women who are closest to you.
Exactly.
And you have to pick the best one in front of them all.
Exactly. So Zeus said, you know, ladies, I love you all, but I can't decide. You have to go to Troy, up on the mountain Ida, where, you know, you're going to find Paris, the prince, and he's going to decide for you.
Okay.
And so that's known as the judgment of Paris in art throughout. And of course, the three goddesses go. They all promise him wonderful things.
Got
but
it.
I say, you know, when you are about 20 years old or younger, that your hormones are high. You know, just power and different wisdom and all these things that Hera and Athena promised him we're not good enough. When Aphrodite promised him the most beautiful woman in the world, of course, he gave...
That desire was awakened.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or and met.
So, met.
Yeah.
And Aphrodite promised him the most beautiful woman, who was, of course, Helen. Except there was a little trouble here, because Helen was already married.
Agamemnon?
She was the queen of Sparta, married to Agamemnon's wife.
Agamemnon's
husband.
Brother.
Brother, sorry.
Menelaus.
Menelaus, exactly.
Now I remember, okay.
And, of course, the rest is history. Paris went there, visited, given hospitality. Menelaus is absent. Paris abducts Helen, takes her to Troy. That's the Trojan War.
Got it.
But back to Achilles. That all was started at Achilles' parents' wedding.
Okay.
Now, after that wedding, of course, Thetis has the baby, Achilles. But of course, she's a goddess. She's married to a mortal man. She wants her baby, her son, to be immortal as well. And she takes the baby, and she dips him into the waters of the river Styx, which was one of the most important rivers of the underworld. If you gave an oath on that river, or whatever you did on that river was irrevocable.
It was sacred.
Sacred and irrevocable, you know. So the
it was forever.
Forever.
Got it.
So, Thetis picked up the baby, Achilles. Unfortunately, she held him from the heel and dipped the baby into the water of Styx. And of course, her desire was fulfilled. The baby became invulnerable. Except for that
one spot.
That little spot that she held him from. And that became his heel, according to the story.
Wonderful.
Okay.
So he did have powers of immortality in many ways.
Yes, he was. In other words, he was a demigod, as the Greeks thought about their heroes.
Got
that
it.
Means they had divine... they had the divine in them, they had the invulnerable part in them, however, they had a weak spot. And so, according to the story, we hear how Achilles got his heel, his weak spot. Now, of course, his childhood was with his father, then his father gave him to Chiron, the half horse, half man, wise centaur.
As a teacher,
who was, you know, the teacher of all the great heroes, like Heracles and Jason, and of course, Achilles himself.
Okay.
Chiron gave him an excellent education, except that at some point, the War of Troy was announced
broke out.
It didn't break out yet, but it was in the works, you know. And, of course, Thetis, being afraid that her son is going to be called upon, went to Chiron, picked him up, and tried to hide him. He's still a child, and he gives him to the king of Kyros, which is an island in the middle of Greece, in the Aegean Sea, and the king is going to hide him. Actually, he doesn't even know he's a boy, because Thetis dresses him in girl's clothes
to
pretend
him.
That she's a girl, that he is a girl, and to hide him among the daughters of the king of Skyros.
Okay.
And of course, Achilles is going to be raised for a few years there.
Okay. Does Achilles even know about the preparation that's been underway for the war in Troy?
The authors don't make that clear, but he's supposed to hide his identity and pretend he is a girl.
Okay.
So, some time passes. Of course, Achilles is a boy. And as the story has it, makes friends with one of the daughters of the king, who produces for him a child. But before even we know about that child, Odysseus and the Greek leaders are looking for Achilles. And the rumor has it that he's to be found there, but they don't know, and they don't have means of finding out, except that they have, as Odysseus is the wily, or the cunning hero, he goes there, and they take different things to give to the girls, and they give them different toys, or different mirrors, or different things that would appeal to the girls.
Gifts. Yeah.
And at the same time, they have a trumpet, and they have some
more masculine toys.
Masculine toys, like a weapon, some kind of a sword and things
spear,
like
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, Achilles jumps among the girls, and he's recognized. That's how he's found out. And of course, they take him to the war. Now, of course, the most important evidence comes from Homer, in the Iliad, as I said, and in the last book of the Odyssey, when he's dead already in the underworld. Mm-hmm. We hear quite a bit from about him. Now, the Iliad is the book which has to do only with the last year of the Trojan War, and not to the end of the war. That is, by the time the Iliad ends,
they're still at war.
They're still at war. They still haven't won.
Mm-hmm.
And Achilles is still alive.
Understood.
Whereas, you see, by the end of the war, Achilles has died. Okay? But we hear in the beginning of the Iliad, the first book is called The Wrath of Achilles. Do you know what that wrath is all about?
Not at all.
Okay. So, another issue that we need to be aware of is that all these kings and heroes, of course, number one, that the kings and the leaders went to war, unlike today's world, that we send only the young guys to fight.
The kings fought
side by side with the soldiers.
It's a pretty good rule, I think.
I think so, too. They would think twice, don't you think?
I think we wouldn't rush off so quickly, would we?
Exactly. But anyway, all these kings go to the war, and of course, Achilles being the best of the Achaeans, as Homer calls them, because the Greeks didn't have a common name as Greeks yet.
Understood.
So he calls them the Danaans, the Achaeans, the Argives.
These are all other names for Greeks.
Different names that Homer uses for the Greeks.
Okay.
And Achilles goes to different places around Troy and wins battles, and he gets spoils. But guess what? Agamemnon is the best. I mean, he's not the best hero, but he is the leader of the Greeks in the Trojan expedition.
Almost like a general.
He is the general.
Understood.
The leader general of the Greeks.
Achilles is.
No. Agamemnon is.
Okay.
Agamemnon, who is older.
And Achilles reports to him, probably.
Exactly. But at the same time, it's Achilles who wins the day. Right? So, and he gains the spoils. But guess what? When Achilles gets the spoils, the best of the spoils go to Agamemnon.
Right.
Okay? Among the spoils are women.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the best, the most noble of the women go to Agamemnon, and, of course, next they would go to Achilles.
So Achilles is getting Agamemnon's leftovers.
Sort of, yeah. Second best.
Second best.
Okay.
Right.
So, the trouble is, though, as all this is in the background of the Odyssey,
of the Iliad. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, as the Iliad begins, the problem is that the Greeks find themselves into trouble because the girl that Agamemnon has happens to be one of the daughters of a priest of Apollo, who is on the Trojan side.
And that's a pretty big position.
Absolutely.
The priest of Apollo is a pretty high place. Not a king, but up there.
Yeah.
Advisor to king kind of thing.
Yes, and sacred.
Okay.
So
this guy had a daughter, and she ends up in the harem, or in the collection of Achilles. Agamemnon. Okay.
Agamemnon. So the problem is that the priest has prayed very hard to the god,
mm-hmm.
and the god is bringing pestilence and trouble to the Greeks.
While they're trying to invade, right.
And therefore, now the Greeks have to consult with their own priest, who reveals to them that the reason they get that is because Apollo is mad, and Apollo is mad because Agamemnon holds the girl, the daughter of the priest.
Got it.
Agamemnon, therefore, is forced by the army to give back the girl.
Okay.
Reluctantly, he has to give it back, except that he says, you, all the other leaders, cannot have the best, and then only I, who am the leader, be without a girl and without spoils. Therefore, if you're going to get away Chryses, this girl, I'm going to get the girl that Achilles has, which is Briseis.
So all the girls are going to go up?
Not all the girls. Just he, Agamemnon, declares that he's going to get Achilles' girl.
Achilles doesn't like that idea very much, I
Absolutely.
Take it.
Absolutely. And the first book of the Iliad is about that fight. And it's called The Wrath of Achilles.
So let me re-sum up here.
Mm-hmm.
Agamemnon, with the Greeks, have come, they invade Troy. In some of the spoils they get in making the battles around Troy, he gets the daughter of a priest,
mm-hmm.
likes
Apollo.
Her a lot,
mm-hmm.
finds out, though, that he's got to give her back, gives her back, and then goes right to his number one guy,
mm-hmm.
who's done all these victorious things, and says, hey, you got to give me your girl.
Exactly.
Got it. Keep going. So this is what created the wrath.
That's what creates the wrath, and that's the theme on which the entire Iliad
is based.
Is based.
Wonderful.
Okay.